Good afternoon. My name is Kim, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the McClatchy Company First Quarter 2016 Earnings Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Stephanie Zerake, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you all for joining us today for our First Quarter 2016 Earnings Call. I'm Stephanie Zerake, Investor Relations Manager, and I'll be available to answer any follow-up questions you may have after our call this morning. My phone number is 916-321-1931, and you can also find my contact information on our website. This call is being webcast at mcclatchy.com and will be archived for future reference. Our earnings release was issued this morning before the market opened, and I hope you've had a chance to review it. Joining me today is Pat Talamantes, our President and CEO, our Vice President of Operations, Mark Seaman, our Vice President of Products, Marketing, and Innovation, Chris Hendrick, and our Vice President and CFO, Elaine Lindicum. Before we begin the review of our quarter, let me point out that beginning with the first quarter of 2016, we are discussing and presenting our digital revenue results on a net basis, which is comparable to all of 2015. We are now on an apples-to-apples basis since cycling over the impact of the Cars.com affiliate agreement that became effective in October of 2014. This conference call will contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that are described in our SEC filings. Actual results may differ materially from those described during the call. Also, non-GAAP amounts discussed this morning are reconciled to the most directly comparable GAAP measures in schedules posted on our website or in the body of our press release. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to Pat Talamantes.
Thanks, Stephanie, and thank you all for joining us today for a review of our 2016 first quarter results. We began the year with the message that 2016 would result in strong digital growth and be another year of forward progress, and we're off to a good start. We have seen the impact of our strategies in both digital revenues and audience pay off in the first quarter of 2016. We will hear from Mark and Chris a bit later to provide insight into these strategies and their results. We improved our financial position and shareholder returns. During the first quarter, we returned $3.6 million to shareholders through share repurchases. We have repurchased 9.5 million Class A shares valued at $11.5 million since launching our share repurchase program and have $3.5 million remaining under the authorization. We strengthened our balance sheet by repurchasing $30.8 million of bonds. We repurchased debt due in 2017, which now totals only $35 million. So we have a substantial runway to 2022 when our first lien bonds come due. We also reduced our pension obligations by contributing real estate valued at $47.1 million to our pension plan in February. We believe the success of our digital transformation, legacy expense reductions, and real estate monetization efforts will allow us to further improve our financial position and create value for our shareholders. In April, we began actively marketing our Sacramento, California, Kansas City, Missouri, and Columbia, South Carolina, main office buildings and printing facilities for potential sale-leaseback transactions. These assets represent a few of the larger insourcing production facilities held by McClatchy, and all are located in attractive growing markets. Now let's look at our first quarter operating results. Our digital-only advertising revenues were up 18% compared to the first quarter of 2015, and total digital was up 4.1% for the same period. Digital advertising revenues in the first quarter represent 29.4% of total advertising revenues compared to just 25.4% in the first quarter of 2015. Digital audience revenues were up 4.5% compared to the first quarter of 2015. The first quarter of any year is always our toughest due to the seasonality of the business, and this year was no exception. For the first quarter, we had an adjusted loss of $7.9 million, a 10% improvement, however, from the adjusted first quarter 2015 results. Total revenues in Q1 finished down 7.5% compared to the same quarter in 2015, and advertising revenues were down 9.9%, representing a 2 percentage point improvement from the fourth quarter of 2015. The print revenue decline of 14.7% contributed to the overall decrease in total advertising revenues, but it is an improvement of 1 percentage point from the decline reported for the full year 2015 compared to full year 2014. Within advertising categories, total retail finished down 12.9%, including preprint, but digital-only retail grew 13.7%, driven by display, native, and video. Impress Local, our suite of digital products for small and medium-sized businesses, continued its strong performance, and we also saw growth with large retail customers as well. National advertising was up 3.3% for the quarter, as growth in total national digital advertising of 36.7% outpaced the decline in print advertising for the third consecutive quarter. In fact, national digital ad revenues surpassed national print revenues for the first time ever this quarter. Digital-only national revenues grew 53% compared to the same quarter last year, reflecting the strength of our programmatic ad sales, including native and video advertising. Total classified advertising finished down 8.3% compared to Q1 of 2015, maintaining similar trends as last year. Though we saw an overall decline in digital classified advertising, our digital-only classified advertising grew 11.3% in the first quarter compared to the first quarter of 2015. The strongest areas of improvement in digital-only this period were in automotive, up 19.3%, and real estate, up 13.6%. Direct marketing was down 8.8% compared to the same quarter last year, and continued to be impacted by the pullback of large preprint advertisers in our direct mail products. Total audience revenues reported a decline in the first quarter of 2.7%, while digital audience revenues were up 4.5% compared to the same period. I'll now turn the call over to Mark to provide an update on our digital revenue strategies.
Thanks, Pat, and hello, everyone. As Pat noted earlier, we had a strong first quarter for digital advertising. A portion of our digital growth is driven by the restructuring and reinvention of our sales teams across McClatchy. As a reminder, this initiative included increasing the size of our sales staff, doubling the number of digital coaches that are assisting our local teams, adding fulfillment positions and new sales tools, and focusing our compensation incentive plans to place more emphasis on local advertisers and digital sales. Six of our largest markets have already adopted the restructuring and reinvention last year. Those markets are seeing improving digital results and contributed 62% of our digital-only growth in the first quarter. We are currently working with the remainder of our markets to implement the same program, and we expect to have all markets transition by the end of the year. Our growth in digital-only revenue in the first quarter came from across the board. Impress Local, our suite of digital marketing products for small and medium-sized businesses, grew 32% in the first quarter. Cars.com was up more than 25%, fueled by a combination of rate increases and account growth, which helped drive the nearly 20% growth in digital-only auto advertising that Pat mentioned a minute ago. Digital direct marketing, which includes our email marketing products, grew 64%. Video advertising was up 185%, and native advertising also showed strong triple-digit growth. As Pat said, our national digital revenue continues to be an area of strong growth for us, driven largely by programmatic, which nearly doubled over Q1 of last year. In programmatic, we saw strong growth in auto manufacturers and the finance and consumer electronic categories especially. But we also showed strong double-digit growth in national digital revenue that was sold by our own sales team, up more than 20%, with political, direct marketing, and SEM doing particularly well. Our digital results are helping to offset print declines in several advertising categories as more of our customers move their marketing budget to the digital space. And we are prepared to follow our advertisers onto any platform they want to ensure the best ROI possible offering an integrated product mix that includes print, digital, native, and video. And we're also eager to move that effort industry-wide. Last week, along with Gannett, Tribune Publishing, and Hearst, we announced the formation of Nucleus Marketing Solutions, a brand new marketing network for our national advertisers. Nucleus will offer a one-stop solution across all of our companies to connect national advertisers to audiences across existing print and also emerging digital platforms. In addition to the reach of the four founding companies, we hope to include as many as 11 other affiliate partners across the top 30 U.S. markets. We also attracted excellent talent to lead Nucleus, former Mashable CRO Seth Rogen, whose career was built on multi-platform brand growth and digital media leadership, has been named CEO. Seth spent many years at the New York Times, believes in our journalism mission and our strong brand, and is eager to get going. We project that Nucleus will reach over 70% of consumers in the top 30 U.S. advertising markets, and by some estimates, as many as 168 million unique visitors. It will focus on integrated multimedia solutions in a brand-safe environment and one that's easy to access and also scalable. Seth and Nucleus will have more to share in the future as the company gets underway. Now let me turn it over to Chris to speak to our audience trends and other partnerships.
Thank you, Mark. As you may recall, in 2015, we led efforts to relaunch our mobile and desktop website. We redesigned print products, introduced new mobile apps, and deployed new storytelling techniques, which were implemented in most of our markets. As of today, 27 of our newspapers have successfully converted to our new publishing platforms. And we continue to push our journalism to readers where they want it, where they want to read it, whether on our sites or social networks. As a result, we have seen another quarter of growth in our total unique and local unique visitors, up 12.8% and 11.9% respectively, compared to the same quarter last year. Further, of those total unique visitors, 57.8% were mobile viewers, a demographic that is an important part of our growing digital audience. We are continuing our digital outreach, which includes not only marketing our digital product to non-subscribers, but reminding current subscribers of the digital benefits available to them. This outreach includes marketing in our printed papers, email, and social media. Other initiatives that are underway include an aggressive digital pricing campaign. Our markets have not had pricing adjustments in their digital products in quite some time, and with the design improvements and new storytelling methods, the new pricing better reflects the value of our digital products. As is often the norm with pricing adjustments, we do expect that there will be a temporary slowdown in the growth of our digital-only subscribers. This pricing strategy has been implemented in a few markets in the first quarter and will be rolled out to others in the second quarter of 2016. In Q1, paid digital-only subscribers grew 5.7% to 78,400 subscribers compared to the first quarter of 2015, and our digital-only audience revenues increased 10.1% for the same period. Our investments in video to enhance storytelling and provide a growing opportunity for advertising produced strong results in Q1. During the first quarter, we saw our video views increase by 390% compared to the first quarter of 2015. Lastly, our relationship with the Local Media Consortium, also known as the LMC, remains strong and is one of the key factors to our digital revenue growth, specifically in programmatic advertising. In the first quarter, we saw our programmatic CPMs grow 15% compared to the same quarter last year, in part due to our relationship with the LMC. And now I'll turn it back over to Pat to complete the review of our first quarter results.
Thank you, Chris. Turning to costs, during the first quarter, we reduced operating cash expenses, excluding severance and certain other charges, by 7.7%. The majority of cost savings came in compensation and newsprint costs and are reflective of legacy cost reductions that we are continuing this year. These cost reductions not only represent the positive rollover impact of our 2015 initiatives, but also continued efforts in 2016. We will continue to find cost savings and efficiency programs this year. For instance, we are moving the printing of the Wichita Eagle to our Kansas City facility in early June. We also entered into an agreement with Wipro, our co-sourcing technology partner. Though there will be cost savings from this arrangement, they were not the sole strategic reason for the co-sourcing. and is a strategic partnership to allow McClatchy to enhance its technological development and innovation as we continue our digital transformation. Regarding our capital structure, we ended the quarter with cash of $17.6 million and net debt of $906.5 million. Our leverage ratio was 4.66 times cash flow, as defined in our credit agreement. We have $65 million available under our revolving credit agreement, and the restricted payments basket under our 2022 bond indenture was $710.8 million at the end of the first quarter of 2016. Looking to the second quarter and the remainder of the year, the company expects to report double-digit growth in digital-only advertising revenues for the second quarter and full year 2016. While the company remains steadfast in communicating the value of print advertising, the declining trends in direct marketing and print advertising are not anticipated to subside in the next few quarters. Although these trends eased in the first quarter of 2016, management believes that print advertising will continue to become a smaller portion of advertising and total revenues. Audience revenues are expected to be down in the same range in the second quarter as the first. Our legacy cost reduction strategy is expected to cause cash expenses to decline in the second quarter and full year 2016. As you can see, we're executing on digital at a high level and keeping our costs in check in the face of continued declines in print revenues. We're paying down debt and we're buying back stock. We will remain focused on growing digital revenues, stabilizing operating cash flow, reducing debt and interest costs, and creating shareholder value. I'd like to thank you all for joining the call today, and we will now open the conference call up for questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Michael Kupinski with Noble Financial. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking the question. Bring in value of the properties that you currently are planning to, that you have indicated that you have on the market, and also the book value of the total amount of real estate holdings that you have?
Michael, this is Elaine. We're using a national real estate consultant to assist us in the effort of marketing those three large properties. They have broad reach, and they're soliciting many well-capitalized entities and individuals. It's very early in that process. We just began marketing it last week, so it could take some months. We're not going to discuss pricing on this call, but we can tell you that together the three markets include about 1.3 million of square foot of office and production space in growth markets. As you know, we contributed property to the pension plan, and so we're down to somewhere near the between $280 to $300 million in total property left that could be monetized.
Elaine, can you tell us what the book value of those properties that you indicated that are on the market right now, what the book value of those properties are? What are you carrying on the books for those properties?
After depreciation, they're probably in the $85 million range. Remember that some of these are properties that have been held for a long time.
Okay. And given the improving trends that we are seeing at Career Builder at this point and the fact that Tribune Media is exploring options, is now the time to consider selling your stake in Career Builder?
Well, as you know, Mike, we get this question every quarter. I can set my watch by it. The pivot that Matt and the team are executing toward a SaaS model is absolutely the right one. We're early into that pivot. They continue to make acquisitions. They're doing a really strong job there with that. And so that is definitely a factor in terms of what the timing for our relationship with CareerBuilder is. So for now, we continue to be very supportive partners, supportive of what they are doing, and we're going to let that play out. And then over time, you know, we think that there may be opportunities, but we're not going to call it a date on it or say that that's today or even next year, because the important thing for that business to do is to get that transition right.
And in terms of your digital initiatives,
Mike, you're breaking up.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in a tough spot here. Can you talk about your video initiatives and where you stand on that, and how can we really monitor how you're introducing video into your digital operation?
Well, to your second question, I think you can spend a lot of time on McClatchy websites, and that is the best way to monitor how we're integrating video. We have a team in D.C. That we've talked about in the past that is one part helping to educate everyone in our company about the importance of video, how to shoot video, how to improve the quality of it, how to improve the quantity of it, and that content is key. We also have other talented people in the operation monitoring our sites on a real-time basis to then be able to suggest to our markets what optimal video clips might be inserted into stories. We're very conscious of whenever a story is breaking to get video to be part of that story at the same time. And that is all of that, the blocking and tackling of video is what's behind our ability to grow video traffic. So much so that now our advertising team is very focused on growing video advertising as well. We saw that this quarter. We saw continued strong growth there. We also think that in terms of native or branded video content, that there's more that we can do there. And we actually have a brand studio that is working with our advertisers to do video, straightforward video, all the way through 360-degree and VR video as well for those clients. And the client's reaction is one of sheer delight when we're able to make that connection. So the numbers are still small. Video overall in this business is one that all publishers are having to move to. And we think we've got an incredibly talented group in D.C. and spreading throughout the company to help guide us through that transition.
All right, thank you. That's all I have for now.
Thanks, Mike.
Your next question comes from Avi Steiner with J.P. Morgan. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking the questions. To start, the digital sub decline, at least on a sequential basis from the fourth quarter, is that really driven by the new higher digital pricing? Is there some seasonal factors behind that? If you can talk to that, thank you.
Chris, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. We were very aggressive on our pricing. We had not taken an increase in quite some time, so we decided to implement an average of 30% increase, knowing that we would take that down for a short period of time and then it would come back up. We do expect to see it return to growth later this year as we are putting in a lot of different new marketing programs along with it at the same time.
And Avi, I guess I would just add that it's important in terms of pricing that we stand up for the value of our content and what we're charging individuals for digital publishing. I also think while this is an important area for us all to continue to monitor, that the traffic that we're getting onto our site, as you heard from Mark and from Chris earlier, we're monetizing in perhaps an even more lucrative way than merely through the digital subscriptions.
Chris, was there something else you wanted to
add? Yes, the Q4 aspect of it is one thing we did do, Avi, was we did increase the pages available for free during the fourth quarter to take advantage of the increased demand on the advertising side, so less people saw the paywall during that period, and that did impact the revenue.
And Avi, that's the reason for that is just that what we see in the fourth quarter is that programmatically rates are going through the roof, and we want to take advantage of that in the fourth quarter. I don't know that we'll do it again in the coming fourth quarter. We might, political may have something to play with that as well. But that's the reason the CPMs in the fourth quarter are just very, very strong.
Okay, that is helpful. Thank you. And then turning to the asset sales, so you specified sale-leaseback transactions, and this goes back to maybe a question from last quarter's call, but can you remind us what the prescribed use of proceeds would be for whatever you'd get from these sale-leaseback transactions under your existing bond indentures? And are you, I guess, prohibited from contributing further properties into the pension?
Avi, it's Elaine, so I'll take the first question first. A sale would, in the nature of what we're talking about, would qualify as a sale under the 9% note indenture. And so as a result of that, unless the proceeds were reinvested in the company, we would be required to offer the after-tax and after-cost proceeds to the 9% bondholders. In addition, the 1997 indenture for the old Knight Ritter bonds would require that we reduce debt at least equal to the amount of the attributable debt in the lease, which is effectively the net present value of the lease. So that's what would happen under the structure that we are looking at. As to contributing properties to the pension plan, I would say that it's possible to do so going forward, although the pension plan have a lot of requirements around that. It has to be acceptable to the pension plan, and we can't contribute more than 10% of the total asset to the pension plan. And so at least for now, that would put somewhat of a limit on the amount of property that could be contributed to the pension plan.
That is
And those those assets are about $1.3 billion, just so you know, the plan assets.
Thank you. That is very helpful. And then last one for me. Your cost guidance in the press release, and I think on the call was, and these are my words, maybe a touch more general than in the past, and I'm wondering if you could be more specific or if I can throw this out there, just given when you started to take more aggressive actions last year, is there any reason your pace of expense reduction can't be similar, at least in the second quarter, that we've seen in the first? And thank you again for taking my questions.
Thanks, Avi. Appreciate your support. In terms of the expenses, I think what we have found in the past was that we would give guidance that might not be in keeping with what people have in their models, and then circumstances might change, and we might increase the pace at which we would decrease expenses, and then everything works out in the end, but in the meantime, we've stressed people out because of this disconnect between expectations and what our initial plans were. So, you know, our overall focus is that we think that since 2008, we've earned the right to get people's trust that we will do what we need to do in terms of expense performance. There's nobody in the industry who's done a better job, full stop. And as a result, I think we're just a little bit more reticent. So we'll let the revenue environment dictate it. Occasionally, we may have to make investments to continue this phenomenal digital growth that we're seeing. And we'll just kind of take it a quarter at a time. The only other thing I would add is that this digital transformation, you know, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, it's a little bit messy. So, too, are print trends. And so, again, one quarter, the expense performance may be great from a bondholder's perspective, and then the next quarter may not be, and then we might get back to something better in the following quarter. So it's just, it's volatile enough that we just figured we would dispense with all of that, knowing that you all know how great of a job we do when we're managing our expenses.
Understood. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Craig Huber with Huber Research. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I got a few questions, please. I guess let's start with retail, if you could. The roughly, you know, $10-11 million drop in retail advertising year over year. What's your sense right now in your largest newspaper markets, for example, where those ad dollars specifically are going to? I mean, they clearly don't seem like they're going to TV and radio. I mean, can you just kind of lay out where you think those dollars are actually going to? Or is the market contracting?
Yeah, you know, we're just coming off of the NAA conference, and so have a little bit of color on it. You know, the retailing business is a very difficult business. That big box business is very challenging. They are looking for cost savings wherever they can find them. And oftentimes, even though it seems counterintuitive, they're looking at areas like preprint to go get them. And even though we have lots of data that show that preprints are still very effective for retailers, it remains the case that in a business like theirs, where they're dealing with these digital competitors, that they need to find cost savings, and that's how we feel it. So it's not necessarily a reflection on our business. It can also be a reflection on what's going on with them. Mark, is there anything else you'd like to add to that might be a little more specific?
Well, I think as Greg said, there's probably two things going on. First, that some of this drop that we've seen in, like, healthcare spending does seem just to be a shift from where we used to see that money going. Not actually a shift to other platforms or other media, but just sort of going away. As Pat said, we saw some drops in department stores, grocers, and other typical preprint advertisers, oftentimes because of the struggles that those advertisers are having. But we also saw good growth on the digital retail side in some of those same categories like grocery, home improvement, furniture. So some of that money is shifting from print over into digital.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. So where we see decreases in budgets, particularly from the large advertisers, we're showing them other ways that we can help drive traffic for them in other media like social, native video, and we even see some of them in programmatic as well. And so we're focused on doing more and more of that, just like we've done successfully on the national side.
What percent right now of your print retail is preprints? The ad revenue there, please.
On the ad revenue side, so if you look in the first quarter, in the first quarter, print advertising for so retail and preprint was about 34.5% in total. And so that breaks down. Preprint was 18.6, and retail ROP was 15.9. And again, those are all just print numbers.
Okay, my next question, please. National, can you just talk about some of the categories there that's driving the better performance there, but particularly on the digital side, but I'd like to hear the print side as well. Anything significant changes there in any category stuff?
Sure. Mark, you want to take that?
Yeah. In national print revenue, we're seeing decline, obviously. In Q1, some of the bigger categories were telecommunications, entertainment, airlines, and travel. On the digital side, we're seeing strong growth. We saw strong growth in programmatic, especially with auto, finance, and consumer electronic categories. That represents about half of our national digital revenue. And as Chris said, we're constantly working with Google and the LMC to maximize our pricing on that and drive rates even higher. But we're also partnering with our local markets to make sure we don't hurt our local direct sales. And so in national direct sales from our own staffs, we saw strong double-digit growth there as well. And some of that was in, you know, the email marketing SEM areas, but we also saw, probably not surprisingly, strong growth in political this year in that category.
Okay, then what was your digital-only subs in the quarter, please, at the end of the quarter?
78,400, something like that.
That was roughly, was that roughly flattish, Elaine, with 3 months ago?
No, it was up about 5%.
Okay.
From, yeah, I think the question was from last quarter.
Over last quarter, I think it was around 75,000.
Okay. I mean, actually, the data I thought I got from you guys last time, not to be nitpicky here, but I thought it was 79,300 at year end. Is that not correct?
Oh, you're right. It was down 1%, and that was Chris explained that in an answer to Avi about 5 minutes ago.
Okay, I definitely missed that then. Okay. My other question, video ads, I assume it, as a percentage of your digital ad revenue, it's like it was very small, 1%, 2%, 3%. Is that correct?
It remains small, but the level of the increase is substantial, or is meaningful, I would say. So it's very early days. I have the numbers. I'm not giving them out. But it's still a very solid number. It's just we need a few more quarters of growth there before it becomes a meaningful number. Increasingly, advertisers are looking for video to complement the rest of a digital package. So the video component of a given campaign might be small, but it needs to be there, particularly as we come up on political season here.
And my final question, I appreciate your time here. Newsprint, what was the average price and consumption percent change in the quarter year over year, please?
Both were down right around 14%.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Patrick Fitzgerald with Baird. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Sorry if I missed this. How many square feet did you contribute to the pension?
Oh, I don't have that number handy. I would have to go back and get it. It was property valued at about $47 million, but I don't have the square footage.
Okay, and then, you know, after, you know, outside of the stuff you're marketing right now for sale-leaseback, what would be the big chunks of properties that remain?
I wouldn't say there are big chunks of property that remain. There's a number of smaller properties that we're looking to sell outright, but there wouldn't be any other large facilities like those three?
Lots of singles and doubles.
Lots of singles and doubles, yeah.
Okay. So just because – okay. So am I correct that there's no contribution to the pension this year on a cash basis?
You are.
And then the recent contribution in the form of real estate, what does that mean for, you know, years forward? Also, no contribution from a cash perspective?
Can't answer that right now. The one thing about pension is it's pretty volatile. Depends upon what interest rates are at the end of the year. Depends upon how the pension plan assets perform. And so we haven't given a projection for beyond 2016.
Okay. Are there any major, you know, cash outside of, you know, EBITDA, CapEx, interest, that would be a big impact in 2016?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do you expect to get a dividend from CareerBuilder this year?
That will be decided by Career Builders Board, and so we do expect that in the future we'll get dividends, but we can't call it year by year. It's our anticipation that we will.
Typically, historically, the board looks at that at the end of the year. Last year, there was a dividend paid in July. There was not one at the end of the year. I think it's probably more likely that we'd have that discussion closer to the end of the year.
Okay. And then, you know, you guys have talked about it a lot, and people have asked questions about it, but, you know, seeing a nice uptick in digital growth here. Could you just talk, you know, is it more advertisers looking to utilize your digital offering? Are you getting better at selling it, or is it just, you know, price increases across the board that's kind of driving the increased trend, the higher trends here?
Yeah, you know what it is? It's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of talented people all deciding that this is a digital company, and we need to change how we're executing on the business. So whether it's the sales side, where our top six markets have completely reinvented how we go to market to be more digital forward with our advertisers. Mark mentioned that those six largest markets accounted for 62% of the dollar increase in digital only. We've got most of the rest of the company going through that sales reinvention process the rest of this year. So that's a key factor. Another key factor is newsrooms and journalists across the company and social media experts focusing on how to go out and get our high-quality journalism to readers wherever they are, not necessarily expecting them to be on our website, but finding them in their daily live stream so that we can improve the number of people who see that great journalism. That takes a lot of work. There's a lot of technology that investments that we've made over the years that have laid the groundwork for that to happen. The rise in programmatic has been years of work with the local media consortium and our colleagues to lay that foundation. You know, so I think what we saw in the fourth quarter and the first quarter and what we would hope to see the balance of the year is the culmination of just literally years of work. And we're seeing it now and gratified that, you know, we have even more people wanting to come to McClatchy to do their best work, as evidenced by some of these really talented people that we have on the video team, journalists, salespeople. You know, the fact that Seth Rogen wants to come work with our industry at Nucleus, all testaments to how people are changing their view of publishers to really being digital companies. And I think this is just the beginning. I don't think we're tapped out at all on our digital growth. And it's really nice to see, particularly at a time where non-newspaper digital publishers are having a little bit harder time.
All right, thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Todd Morgan with Jefferies. Your line is open.
Great, thank you. Thanks for holding the call, and thanks for all the Q&A. Two quick ones. Looks like cash taxes were a source this quarter, a source of cash, and I think you'd called out previously expecting a refund. Is that kind of through the system now, and the cash taxes will be an outlay going forward? Is that the way to think about it?
That is the way to think about it, Todd. Most of the $10 million benefit from the pension was reflected in the first quarter, and that's why it's the refund.
Great, and then secondly, the direct marketing revenues, you know, down around 9%, and I think you'd made a comment that the continued pullback by some of the advertisers. Is there anything further you can talk to there? I mean, I would think that you guys would be pretty well positioned to be able to offer that to some of your local advertising partners and so on, and yet it continues to be kind of a little bit of a soft spot in the overall story. Anything there? Thanks.
It continues to look a lot like the preprint category. So what we are continuing to try to do there, no different than with preprint, is to offer advertisers the opportunity to advertise with us in digital. We also think there are other niche publications that we can offer that we're launching, as well as event revenue that we're generating. And sometimes those revenues aren't always falling back into that same direct marketing bucket, but we're getting it elsewhere. Nevertheless, it remains down, and it's still it's a category that we're spending a lot of time with advertisers talking about.
Okay, and is it fair to think going forward, I think that some of the product realignment you've done in the past in this category is now annualized, so we're looking at sort of apples and apples comparisons going forward. Is that right?
You know, for the most part, there are some smaller reductions in products that we're still cycling on. But for the most part, I think we are through that.
Great. Well, thank you, then, and good luck.
Thanks, Todd.
And your final question comes from the line of Brian Dennys with CRT Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just a few questions. Trying to think through the changing composition of your digital audience. Mobile users are clearly growing quickly. Are non-mobile users declining or just growing less rapidly than mobile users? And is a shift towards mobile more a headwind or an opportunity?
Desktop is, with our recent advancements in audience growth digitally, we've converted a situation where desktop had been down and is now up. It's just not up as much as mobile is. And so mobile is the opportunity when we're designing new products, new pages. We're very much focused on designing that for mobile, and then desktop is sort of the second round of decisions. But everything is designed now for mobile because, as you point out, mobile is where a majority of our readers are.
Gotcha, thank you. And just on Nucleus marketing, how would you say this is different than what the industry has been doing in the past?
Well, you know, first, and I'm going to toss it over to Mark in a second, Mark has forged very strong relationships with our peers in the industry, and even though his sleeves are perpetually rolled up because that's how he rolled, he did a phenomenal job helping the industry pull this together. And so because of that deep work that he did with Nucleus, I think he probably does have some very good perspectives on why this might be different than what we've seen in the past. Do you want to chime in?
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. But, you know, I do think this is a true partnership with the industry, and we're all focused on making it successful. And it's also, and I think the key to that this time around is we also believe, given where we all are and the changes going on in the industry, that the best way to make this successful is to make it successful for our customers, for our advertisers. And that means, you know, not just making it a one-stop place that they can go to get their message across at scale, the top 30 markets, but also working to fix our back-end systems so that they're easier to use and that we take the best practices from each of our companies and we make those the best practices for the industry. And we set this up to offer them, for the first time, I think, in our industry, a true integrated marketing solution, not just a preprint solution or an ROP solution, but a solution that also, and most importantly, includes digital and native and video and all the things that we talked about earlier. All of us are facing the same issues. The advertisers are facing the same challenges, and this is a way to come together, I think, in a very serious way across the industry to to solve those challenges for advertisers and to move forward in this category. As you can tell from our growth in national ad revenue this past quarter, this isn't a business we're giving up on at McClatchy or at the industry. And print may not be what it used to be in this area, but we still think we have the solutions to drive customers to our advertisers, and we think there's a lot of revenue opportunity there for the industry as well. So we think Nucleus gives us lots of opportunities to invest in the future with our top national advertisers, and we're eager to get it started.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's very helpful. And just my last question, print ad revenue was down about 50% in 1Q. My question is, how should we think about that percentage in 2Q and for full year 16?
We don't have any guidance specific on the print declines, other than we said that we don't think trends subside for the next few quarters. Print trends have tended to be a little hard to predict, for sure. And so that's why we're focused on doing everything else we're doing at McClatchy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you all for joining us on our first quarter call. And if you have any questions, I think you've got our team's phone numbers. And have a great rest of your day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call, and you may now disconnect.